Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The three-week-long wait is over. LeBron James is signing a two-year, $8 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, his agent Rich Paul told ESPN's Shams Charania. The Akron native will join Joel Embiid and Jaylen Brown in Philly, looking to become the first player in NBA history to win a title with four different teams. College hoops, per reports, Michigan will not face Duke December 21st after TV rights move the game from Madison Square Garden to Miami. Texas Tech will replace the Wolverines. Baseball today, Guardians visit the Rays at 7:10. While the Reds are at the St. Louis Cardinals at 8:15, hear the ball game on the fan after the Buckeyes show. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on the fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division? In the office, baby. Going out.
All right, here we go. Had a show scheduled. Gonna let you guys know all about the ingrown toenail on my left foot and how that's doing. Guys, we're all ready to hear all about that. And, you know, I thought that'd be a fun topic to start with. Shout out Dr. Rossio. But Scotty Vegas is in for the Iceman today, who I just texted myself because I was mentioning to him, Scotty, that a while ago, I don't remember when, I kind of threw out the wild card of the Sixers, and then I said to Maddie, get your ass in here. Good to see you, my man. Sorry we got to scrap the first half hour.
I know. I feel like, you know, that first segment, we can just kind of rip up the show sheet,
yeah,
but
right.
this is going to be fun because, again, a decision was made, and it's a bit shocking. Because if you look at the odds of how this thing was playing out with LeBron and where he was going to choose, the 76ers were fourth on the list this morning. There was about an 8.5 to 9% chance that LeBron James, of course, this is based on the prediction markets and the odds out there, that 8 to 9% chance that he was going to choose Philadelphia. So, again, we get a shocking decision.
So the decision, in a way, I think you have to somewhat applaud, not for Cavs fans. I think they got the rug pulled out again because they were in the mix. It wasn't like the Cavs were just some romantic story and they have no team and they have no chance. LeBron, come rescue us at 41. That's not this story. If he joins the Cavs, they have a really good chance of making an NBA Finals. And so there was a borderline tease effect to this because of the fact of who they are right now and who he is and what he was looking for. The reason you can applaud it is because the Sixers probably give him, outside of the real big boys, if he wanted to go to the East, give him the best chance of winning another championship.
Bam.
This is a borderline really good super team they've got. Probably Jaylen Brown helped seal this deal when they traded for him. But the fact that LeBron picks the basketball motivation. It's not about money. It's not about, I don't know whether we're here, whether his son will somehow make it there, but this seems to be a big basketball decision and it really takes away. So I want to craft a poll today because I think you guys can help me do this with Cavs fan. And hear me correctly. This doesn't hurt legacy. It's not about that. It's more about the figurative part of it, about how they feel now, because years from now, it doesn't matter. The statue goes up and they'll honor him and pay homage to him as a legendary player forever. Generations of Cav fans and Cleveland sports fans will pretty much always love him because he delivered the lone title. He came back, he got it done. This was one of those that I felt like could have been a really cool fairy tale ending. The question is, did LeBron not pick Cleveland because he trusted the Sixer roster more? Apparently, I have to go on that. The other part of it is, if LeBron went to Cleveland, Scotty, would he have felt more pressure, less pressure, the same pressure? He had already delivered the lone title. It's kind of like you gave him the title. If I came back, would there be pressure that I've got to deliver another one? How do you feel about that?
Of course. I definitely think there would be more pressure. And this decision obviously came down to he looked at the teams and said, this is the team, the 76ers, gives me the best chance to win a title or maybe two titles in the next 2 years. I think that's the ultimate decision. And I do want to, because you mentioned this before the show, and I'm not sure I completely agree with you on this. You said that ultimately Cleveland fans, Cleveland sports fans are just, you know, ultimately the legacy is going to be LeBron got you that championship and they're going to love him years down the line.
Yeah, I think it'll soften.
It'll soften. I do agree with that. But I'm not sure that 5, 10, 15 years down the line, you're going to have every Cleveland fan just absolutely in love with LeBron and what he did over his career because of how complicated this has been in multiple times now where you thought LeBron James had a decision to make and you thought he was going to choose Cleveland and he didn't choose Cleveland. So I think it's way more complicated than 10 years from now. Mm. All Cleveland fans will just, all right, well, we love LeBron and we respect LeBron and put up that statue and all that stuff. I think it's more complicated than that.
See,
now.
And the reason I think I disagree with you, I'll tell you, is that he's not in his prime anymore. He's very good, but he'll be 42 5 days after Christmas. I don't think Cavs fan is clinging to the 42-year-old to deliver them another title. They know they have a good team. That's why this is a gut punch. Honestly, for me, the only gut punch is the fact that he could have really helped them get that one step closer. I'll repeat it. If they were just a middling team and he decided not to come, no big deal. No worries at all. Now, it sucks he's in the East. Mm-hmm. You'll see him and all that. Like, if he would have stayed in the West, I think it would have been better. But when a guy's playing his 24th season at 41, 42, and he didn't choose you, I don't think it's like devastation, but I've already texted some of my like hardcore Cavs fans, and I did get the phrase gut punch back.
Of course.
I did. And behind the glass, I'm sure Zeke is probably, he'll express his feelings. This decision to continue his career, and you'll be able to read his tweet in a minute. It sounded more like, and maybe this is just him playing it up a little bit, that he was more into leaning into quitting than playing again. And I don't know if I can buy that, but it just in Cleveland, this was going to be a really cool challenge for him on a good team to make them great. He had a short timeline to do it, maybe 1 or 2 years. And the fact that he would be joining a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they lost to the eventual champs. Like, this was not a nothing team. Yes, it was a sweep, but it didn't, I mean, the earlier, you know, catastrophe in that series kind of put it on its ear. And I'm not here to tell you the Cavs beat the Knicks, but I do think that this would have made it a lot more fun. I mean, Harden, whatever. But Donovan Mitchell, you have two really good guards. Mobley and Allen, I don't know if Allen would have had to be moved to get him. Who knows? He took no money, so maybe this could have happened. They got two versatile bigs. They can run. I mean, there were some decent role players. I mean, all Cleveland really needed in a weird way was a guy like this. Even at 41, 42, you just needed strength on the wing, and he would bring that, and there'd be so much emotion attached to it. So, while you guys help me craft the poll, and Zeke, maybe you can do it because you're at the switches today. Do you feel like if we put out a poll today, how did LeBron's decision affect you as a, like, dear Cavs fan? How did LeBron's decision affect you? Gut punch? I don't know. Don't care. Like, you can come up with some answers for us, but I think to your point, it is complicated, but we don't agree on exactly why.
No, I just feel, and I'm curious from Isaiah's perspective, as a diehard Cleveland fan, as a diehard Cavs fan, I am curious, like 5, 10 years. Now, this is tough because this is a day of a decision, of a big decision, but 5, 10 years, do you think, you know, ultimately you will be able to get over this and like fully be all in on LeBron as the fact that he brought you guys a title?
I think my feelings towards LeBron won't change. He gave us the championship. I'll be happy about that. But the one thing that I will hate having to do going forward is just wishing that he made this decision differently. Like I'm going to always wish that he had ended with the Cavs, no matter what happens with Philly. Because if he goes and they win another ring, obviously it's going to be the what if. Like, how did the Cavs miss out on getting the final 2 years of LeBron? And then if Philadelphia doesn't get the ring, do we look at his decision maybe like he made the wrong one? If they don't get a ring, then it's like, why wouldn't you finish in Cleveland? Why wouldn't you make the documentary, the fairy tale ending in Cleveland if you didn't? Because right now he's just chasing the ring. Like, you're trying to get the ring, which is okay. But if you don't get it, then would it have been better to go to Cleveland and not win the ring?
I mean, it's hard to crush him. He was making $52 million. He decided to go where he thinks he could win. So the question I would have for you then is, you don't want him to win a ring, right? You're going to be rooting against him, correct?
I don't know if I will or not. I don't know how my feelings right now. I would say,
how can you have both?
I don't understand that.
How can you feel devastated and also be fine if he wins with them?
See, I don't. It's the weird LeBron thing. I don't know. Like, I would have been happy if he'd won this year. Like, if he'd won with the Lakers this year, I would have been happy.
It's complicated.
So, betting perspective. Yeah. I want to throw this out at you guys. So first off, this whole free agency signing with LeBron was heavily bet on in the prediction markets. There were over $224 million traded on the market alone of what team he was going to end up with. The Miami Heat were the favorite going into today with a 44% that they were the favorite that he was going to land there. He ends up going to Philadelphia, who had a 9% chance this morning, which is crazy, which is the fourth best odds. And then 76ers get him, and the 76ers go from being about a 20 to 21 to 1 team to win it all to now they're single digits around 9 to 1 to win it all. So huge implications in the betting markets as well, and a lot of money being thrown out there right now.
The other part of this that we'll talk about a little bit is the Miami Heat. I can't wrap my mind around that the social media screw-up had any real effect on this. I'm curious about your feeling on that with what they did this week, and we'll get after this decision and how it impacts the rest of the league. And certainly, this is going to an iconic franchise that hasn't won in a long time, and what he can do for them. Rothman and Ice on the
end. Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies continue for the rest of the day. Kind of filtered sunshine out there. Otherwise, it's still not bad. Highs around 80 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows fall down to the lower 60s. For your Saturday, partly sunny skies. Just a touch more humidity. Highs reach the lower 80s. Could be a stray shower on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Matty is a diehard Reds fan. I mean, where else is he going to go? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
The two most logical landing spots for a lot of people lately, me especially, was ending his career in Cleveland. Like, that was as logical. I was going to admit that I was going to lose money on that. I just decided to go emotional. I thought the fairy tale ending could live based on what the Cavs had to offer him, and that they gave him a pretty good chance to win, avoid the West, and all good things come in threes. And I thought, here we go. He's coming back and to the team, his hometown that drafted him. You guys know all about that. And the fact that he delivered the long-awaited title, and then they helped themselves by getting to the conference finals last year. And you retained Harden, and the roster is legit. And you allow LeBron to basically write his own ending. And I guess in my mind now, it was too good to be true. The Hollywood movie does not get written, and the romance to end his career is going to happen in Philly. Now, full disclosure, Philly's iconic. And I started to think about this right as we walked into the studio today. Like, I don't know, is Julius Erving's number retired? Like, he loves six. Like, I'm sure 23 he'll wear. But we were talking, Joshua Perry on the way out of here, I'm buying that jersey. So he's in the poll. He's answering our third choices. This is what we've come up with. Tell me if I'm right on this. Dear Cavs fan, express your feeling on LeBron's decision today. Your choices are gut punched, good riddance, basically whatever.
Basically, you were indifferent. Yeah. You didn't really care where he was going to go. Like you want it to be Cleveland, but you're not devastated.
It's a little stronger than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third one would be the one I pointed out earlier, which is forever grateful. He delivered the title. Anything after that was going to be gravy anyway, but the only one that might live here as a fourth choice is either something about Cleveland fan always feeling like they're on the short end, like the curse lives somehow, or the other fourth choice would be somewhere in the, I feel teased again, I feel duped again, even though he didn't specifically mention Cleveland a lot. But you guys, I don't know if you guys saw this, Scotty, but when he was at Fanatics Fest, he dropped that trust the process. And everybody went kind of into a frenzy over whether he was foreshadowing Philly. But then most people thought, how dumb can we be if he's giving you the Joel Embiid nickname, trust the process? It would almost be too much of tipping his hand.
Well, that's the thing, Anthony. We've followed every little breadcrumb over the last month of how this thing was going to go, because there's so many people talking about, oh, Miami dropped that accidental, you know, press conference link and all that stuff. So there was just so many
those
little
people are
things.
Definitely getting fired now. They weren't if he decided to do it.
But there were so many things that people were just following every little conversation. So ultimately, one of them was going to be right. Right. There were so many different hints out there, a lot of different ways. I will say this about this decision, too. At least it was drawn out. So it did take a very long time. It felt like it was very dramatic. At least it wasn't as painful, I guess, as going on, doing an interview, you know, some of the stuff, the theatrics that we've seen in the past. This was just, we're going to drop the news and, you know, and we'll move on. And last week, we were trying to guess at what day this announcement would come and how it would come and stuff. And it comes on a Friday, right before noon, right before the weekend. So, you know, at least this was not built up like that going to Miami.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that Cavs fans can only feel so much like anger towards this, I feel. Like here's LeBron, and he didn't even break his own news, which I thought maybe he would have. Maybe they would have allowed him to do that. It was Shams at ESPN who broke the news. Here's LeBron's tweet. I thought I was done when the season ended. I wasn't ready to announce it. I knew I needed some time to really decide, but I was pretty sure I played my last game. I was honest at the last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decide if I still love, I assume he meant, if I still love, the game, it continues. I still truly love this game, and I have more to give. The last few weeks have really been special. I've never been able to have no clue what to do and take real time to just think. I've had an incredible few months with all the people I love trying to figure it all out. This is my last decision. I'm not going for money. I'm not going for family. What am I really playing for at this point? I still want to sacrifice. I still want to work. I still want to grind. I still want to compete to win, to have a chance at that winning feeling about another championship. I believe I can help make the Philadelphia 76ers a championship team, and I'm so excited to energize a new fan base and start the incredible journey one last time. Thank you, L.A., Miami I'll forever love, and Northeast Ohio will always home.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. Everybody got a little pat on the back.
Well, and again, the breadcrumbs just kept coming out over the last month. Remember, you know, Cleveland fans were excited because he was up at Firestone and he was golfing. And so, oh, okay, he's back in the Cleveland area. Here we go. For me, Anthony, I'm just kind of glad this thing's done. Like, this is drug out long enough that, like, all right, this is finally it.
The league's happy too.
Yeah.
Now they set the schedule.
Now the schedule gets set.
Zeke, I sent you a clip. I don't know if you'll be able to turn this around or when you'll be able to do it, of when LeBron mentioned trust the process at the Fanatics Fest. Because I don't know if that kind of went over people's heads or whether it just kind of flew right by.
I know. We heard that breadcrumb, too. Like, that was one of the things that came out. And then you would hear something else, Cleveland. And then you would hear something else, Miami. And then you would hear something else, Golden State. So, I mean, there were little things throughout the entire process. And those moved those betting markets on where he was going to go, too. So, you know, just ultimately, we could have looked back and ignored a lot of those little hints.
I think they were a wild card before the trade, for sure. Before they traded Paul George for Jaylen Brown and signing Dean Wade, and they strengthened their backcourt depth. And I mean, they are a team now that I still see value in, even at 8-1 or 9-1.
So if you guys had to say, assuming that LeBron's going to play there 2 years, if you guys had to say over under championships won in the 2 years, and I put that over under at a half,
yeah,
are you taking the over? Does LeBron win another one before he's gone in 2 years?
Here's why I would say no. I feel like he'd have to win it this year. I think you go into a 42-year, I'm not saying he falls off a cliff, but trying to do it in the second year, and then the Embiid health is a factor. They're really good on paper. They're outstanding. But they still have to get through the Knicks. Celtics, probably they'll fall off a little. It's about beating the West. It's not really to me about, because you said win a title, not play for one. And so I'm still going to go with OKC and San Antonio as the team. But hey, if they get there and they're healthy, maybe it's more of a coin flip at that point. But I'm going to go with the odds and probably take the under on that.
That makes sense. Under a half of championships, Isaiah?
I would also agree with under half, but I think it all kind of hinges on what you're getting from Joel Embiid. If he's able to stay healthy this season, it feels like similarly, this is their best shot to win it right now. Because a season from now, who knows what the landscape even looks like? The NBA changes so much, and we've seen it this offseason with Jaylen Brown moving to Philly and how much stronger they went from a couple months ago, being not really even considered a title contender, to now. That could easily change three different teams next season to be in a similar spot. So I would say this is the year. If Embiid's healthy, they have as much of a chance as anybody.
Probably wrong of me to say it, because I think they're the deepest team in the conference now. They're immediately deep. The difference is Embiid has played 60 games, what, twice in the last decade? Like, how much can I count on that? Now, I like the fact that he's got anybody can handle the ball on that team. Anybody. Jaylen Brown, Maxey, Edgecombe. I'm looking at the roster right now. Everybody can create their own shot. Now, because they're all pretty effective without the ball, too. I mean, Jaylen Brown playing alongside, I mean, this is going to be, I mean, this is going to be strong. I feel like I may be on the wrong side of this, but if he's only got 2 years, I'm actually going to, all the pressure is, honestly, I think, to win this year.
So the poll is out there, right? Let's look at the poll, and I'm curious, Anthony, which way you think most Cleveland fans are going to go with this poll that we put out, because gut punch, good riddance, or forever grateful, to me, I mean, those are three tough choices. I believe that Cavs fans are going to say gut punch more so than good riddance, because good riddance is like, I didn't really care what his decision was going to be. And forever grateful, I don't think today you're feeling forever grateful. I think most people are going to go gut punch.
Yeah, so I've done my science on these polls before, and some of it goes contrarian to what you really feel. I'm with you on that it would be tough to say forever grateful today if you're feeling any emotion. So I'm probably going to knock that one off the list. Good riddance is a little strong. I don't think they want to say that just this moment, because I think gut punch describes most of it. You were hoping it didn't happen. It feels a little bit of a gut punch. This has nothing really to do with a curse. He's already delivered them a title. So if they didn't have one and he had left again, then maybe I'd vote that way. So the leader before we get off the show will be gut punch.
I agree.
Yeah. We're going to take 2 minutes, come back with our friend James Rapine, go on down to Cincinnati. He's the publisher of Bengals Talk. We'll find out if that defense is loaded and ready. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
.org.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony finally hit a hole in one.
It's in the hole.
So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, Effery and our boy James Rapine. LeBron didn't want to have anything to do with the James Harden curse. Not the Cleveland curse.
So the poll that we put out, and I like it, there's a lot of different options there for you. However, there's one angle that was brought up in our YouTube chat that we didn't address. And that was from Shaw Dog, who says, you're missing a huge angle on this. As a Cavs fan, the Cavs front office did virtually nothing to improve the roster this offseason. And that is where my frustration lies. Cavs didn't go all in.
I think it was the doubling down on Harden. They committed a lot of money to Donovan Mitchell, and they're also paying a lot for Mobley. So, I mean, I guess the question would be, why bring him back when he cost the team more than he gave? Harden, I think, is maybe a little bit of that for people. It is a roster that made the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, it's not like I said earlier, it's not like they were nothing. I mean, the biggest trade of the offseason with Brown and obviously Giannis, both those teams were right there. He chose one of them. So to his point, and I'll give him credit for this, the two teams that made the two biggest moves were right there, apparently, at the end, Philly and Miami. Now, only LeBron will be able to answer this, and he won't answer it. How close was it?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if he was sitting right here, that's what you'd want to ask him.
And when did he officially know where he was going?
Exactly.
That's another thing we'll never know.
Well, he's making it sound like he needed every last minute to make this decision.
So again, the odds at the beginning of the day for where LeBron would end up, the Heat were the favorite. They were -115. Then it was the Cavs between 2 and 3 to 1. And then Golden State was around 4 to 1 and Philadelphia was around 5 to 1. So at the beginning of the day, the expected order was Heat favorite, Cleveland, Cavaliers second, Warriors third, and 76ers were fourth on the list.
That's why I'm willing to give him credit, because a lot of people, because I brought up the Sixers to Maddie, a month ago, I felt like, and Maddie's contention was LeBron will not take less money because he doesn't have to. And I thought, not if this decision is about what we think it's about.
Winning. Chance at championships.
Absolutely. And look what just happened. Minimal stuff for him. And a lot of people didn't believe that he would consider Philly, but they've done a pretty remarkable job by getting a lot of talent in place to win a championship. And it's an iconic franchise. And it's in the East. And so it's unbelievable. But to blame Cleveland for not moving heaven and earth to get him, I don't know. When we talked to Tyvus, he was like, if LeBron comes and it backfires and they don't win and it sets us back, like, they're pretty close. Probably have to move Jared Allen and all that. All right, we have James Rapine. We'll get back to LeBron. It's taken over everything, but nice offseason for Cincinnati and the Bengals. And our friend James Rapine is with us, publisher of BengalsTalk.com, host of First Word Cincy. He's with us now on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. My man, welcome back.
What's up, fellas? I appreciate you having me. If you want to ask me about LeBron, go for it. No problem there.
Well, it's the wild card comes through. They had a lot of talent. I mean, where were you? You're in the state. You get it. I don't know how many Cavs fans you guys have down there in Cincinnati, but people were interested in where he was going to finish it off. And here we are, as he does not write the bookend story.
Yeah, I think. Once the Philly announcement was announced, I was kicking myself for not thinking about this the whole time. One thing Rich Paul said early in this saga to Max Kellerman was that LeBron would have already picked New York had the Knicks not won. And how appealing is it to go to New York and deliver a title for his legacy? Mega appealing. And I think Philly was the next best. Hey, they haven't won in a long time. They have a real chance to win, and you can be the missing piece and add a fourth different team to your, if you end up with five rings and four cities, man, that GOAT debate gets really, really interesting. And that's coming from someone who thinks MJ is the GOAT. And so I think that's it. Mega market, chance to win. It isn't New York. It isn't the defending champs. It isn't Steph and the Warriors. You went back home. You did it for Cleveland once. Will it matter more than doing it in a fourth city? And I think that was the appeal legacy-wise. I bet that was the conversation they had internally.
I think that's a very good point. I do. And this cemented the Sixers as a team ahead of the Cavs now in the East. I don't know how much, but they're ahead of them. Their path through the conference now is tougher now that he's with them. And you're right. This is the fourth separate franchise that he will put on a tank top for. And the fact that he's still averaging 20, 21 a game and played 60 games with the Lakers, it's a tough blow for the Cavs. I'm not in the camp that they screwed up because they didn't move heaven and earth to get him. I think that this would have been ideal because the big hole they had was on the wing, and this was the one that he was supposed to fill that weakness, and it did not happen. As we shift to your Bengals, there is I've heard this on ESPN so many days about, if the Bengals defense can only be average, they'll be fine. Like, so on paper, if we didn't know their history right now, and you kind of just take your biasness out of it, like, you look at this defense, the defensive line group is pretty deep. They get Lawrence. How do you feel about this defense and the impact they'll make this year?
Yeah, I think there's a real chance that they're far better than average. Now, things have to go their way, and what does that mean? Well, that means that Dexter Lawrence needs to be a top three defensive tackle in the league and the game wrecker that they think he is, that they bet on in April when they traded for him. And so it starts there, because this pass became far more realistic when they made that trade. So that's the first thing. And if that happens, then you look around and you say, well, they added Brian Cook on the back end. He should be a top 15 safety and bring some stability there. And safety's been such an issue. And you need the emergence of a guy in DJ Turner who broke out last year. Can he still be that same guy, a lockdown corner? And if that happens, you're looking at two really good pieces in the secondary, a top defensive tackle. And I haven't gotten to Dax Hill, who has a lot to prove this year and who's really good, finished strong last year. Like, some of the pieces that they had on the roster before their additions, there's reason to believe that those guys can be solid options or better in Dax and DJ's case. And so I look at it, and the key to anything is pass rush. It's something in January when I was evaluating this defense, I was like, look, everyone's talking about linebacker, but if there's one thing ahead of free agency that I would pass on if it meant getting Dexter Lawrence and Jonathan Allen, and this is in hindsight, I said it at the time, it would be adding to your pass rush, giving yourself a strong pass rush. And I think that they can potentially do that, at least a stout front. Maybe it isn't the best sack team, but maybe it's a really functional, fun edge room with just beasts in the middle and Jonathan Allen, BJ Hill, and Dexter Lawrence. So I think they can be what's their ceiling? Maybe top 10, like 10 to 14 in that range, which is certainly better than average. Is it 8 to 14? I don't know. Something in that range. And I would not have said that pre-Dexter Lawrence trade. And if they're in that range, we're going to be talking about a team that is certainly a contender.
James, you got a lot of Bengals fans really excited when you just talked about the defense potentially being a little bit better than average. I did want to ask you, though, we're talking about players going to new teams. One of the rumors out there is that Debo might be out there, Debo Samuel. And what's the realistic probability that the Bengals could really get him and add him to this unbelievable wide receiver group already?
See, you're speaking my language, because I'm very much of the belief you can never have enough weapons, especially when you have an elite quarterback. And that's because Joe Burrow is going to get a lot out of you. And I think Debo, if he wanted to come in and play a complimentary role, the Bengals should be interested. I'd be surprised if they are. And I'd be surprised because I think they're very much believers and Andre Yosavash and what he can do. And last year he took a step back, but overall I think his stock is down publicly, and that's going to flip by by October, we're going to be talking about Andre Josefovich. And we can go back to this conversation, but Andre Josefovich exceeding expectations, because expectations are far lower, I think, this year than they were last year. That being said, they drafted Colby Young as well. I think he'll be in the mix as someone that can contribute on offense. And that being said, again, if you can get Deebo Samuel for a couple million bucks, why wouldn't you do that? I think that the thing that he brings you that the Bengals don't have enough of is yak. You want guys that can make plays with the ball in their hand and get yards after the catch. And so is that something that he could give them? For sure. But the Bengals just haven't really done that in the Zach Taylor era, adding that veteran receiver on the back end. But they should be a destination for some of these veterans that are looking for a ring. And obviously Deebo is probably going to want to join a contender. So why not? So, yeah, I think, will Deebo want it? Yeah, I could see Deebo wanting to join this group, especially if he's willing to take a lesser role than he's used to. At the same time, I'm not sure that the Bengals would jump at that based on their history.
I agree with you, man. Good stuff. We're up against it, but you know we'll ring you back soon, James. Thanks for the time, bud. Yep.
Sorry I was late. Appreciate
it. No, all good. James Rapine, publisher, BengalsTalk.com, host of First World, a Word Cincy on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We come back with overs and unders into the weekend. Rothman and Ice in the Fan.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
Sometimes I feel that when you say something on air, it feeds it into the universe of this poll that we did on Cavs fans, you know, your feelings on LeBron's decision. And you and I thought that the last one would be forever grateful. That, like, today yes. isn't the day to reflect about how great he is.
And don't tell me that's in first.
It's tied for first.
What?
Yeah.
I thought that would be under 10%. Yeah. Forever
over,
grateful.
Over, under, underdone. Yeah. Good riddance, though, is tied for the lead. So those are two very opposite things.
Okay, because we both thought gut punch.
Yeah, that's running in third. The curse continues is not getting anything. Because, and that was my fear, is that he's already delivered the title. He's already delivered one. So anything else would be gravy. But here we are. Mm. All right, Zeke, take it away, my man.
All right, lots of talk this week about the college football playoff as SEC media days are in full action. The one I want to tip off to you guys here is they're talking a lot about how many SEC teams that are making the playoff. Last season was 5. Obviously, they'd love to have 12 in there if they could. But the Big Ten here, in 2025, they put in 3 teams. In 2024, they put in 4 teams. How many Big Ten teams will make the college football playoff this season? I'm setting your line at 3.5.
All right, let me think about this. Georgia, Texas.
Oh, we're doing Big Ten.
No, Big Ten, Big Ten.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant
Big Ten over under 3.5 playoff teams.
Oh, but go ahead and start. I thought you were leaning towards SEC.
So I think it's a near lock that Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State. Are you going to get a fourth?
Really a lock?
I mean, close to, okay. In my mind. A better than 50-50 shot that they make the playoff. The fourth, could you get Penn State, who has a bad schedule? Could you get a Washington, a USC, a Michigan? I'm going to take over 3.5. Give me 4.
I'm going to take under on 3.5.
Ooh. You think just 3?
I think 3.
Are you saying Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon?
Yeah, because I don't have another one that would jump over Indiana right now.
Okay, so you're taking 3.
I'm taking
4.
Because it feels like Penn State, Michigan, USC, they're all like a fun story, but they're not there yet.
Gosh, yeah. I think one of them will.
Could USC pull an upset? Of course. But will they have enough? Will they be able to avoid enough disaster on losing a bad one to offset it. I mean, I'm looking at USC's schedule. I mean, they're going to play Ohio State and Oregon. And they got to go to Happy Valley. And they'll go to Madison. I just, there's something in there that tells me they'll have three losses, but they might have a really good win.
Pull up Penn State's schedule and try and find three losses on that schedule.
They're going to be this year's 2 years ago Indiana?
Yes.
I think there's going to be one team that surprises
you. You won't know how good they are, but they'll win all the games.
And Iowa's another one. I think there's just so many middle of the pack that one of them will get into the top 12.
All right, so Penn State has to go to Michigan. They get USC at home, as I mentioned. They'll go to Washington. And the rest is pretty cake.
Yes.
It's pretty cake.
One of these teams is going to jump up and join the other three. I'm taking four, and I feel strong about it.
The best argument is that Penn State schedule. That's a pretty good argument, but they'll flop somewhere. I don't know where, but they will.
There's no James Franklin to flop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because when I look at the SEC, they only have two teams that have win totals at 9.5. Like Georgia and Texas are both at 9.5, and then there's not a lot there after that. So you wonder if there's less SEC, does that mean more Big Ten?
Well, we'll get to that at the top of the hour.
And you're assuming that, you know, the Big 12, you're probably only getting one out of there. You're probably only getting one, maybe two out of the ACC. So there's open spots. I think Big Ten gets four.
Next one here for you, fellas. We'll keep it in college football. This past season, the Heisman ceremony, we had four quarterbacks make it to the Heisman ceremony. That's only happened twice previously in the past 6 years, so pretty much 50-50. How many quarterbacks will be at the Heisman ceremony this season? Over, under 3.5. Do they get four in there?
Boy, it feels like they will. Notre Dame's schedule with Carr. I don't know how much. Arch. Julian could go back.
Dante.
Probably should go back. Chambliss. Dante, Mensa. All right, I'll take the over. But then we have to
Hoover. Your boy?
No, I don't know. Jeremiah.
I love how you just downplay
Jeremiah.
You know you just won a national championship.
That's all you need.
You're just downplaying Indiana.
That's all you need.
I know your reverse psychology.
No,
ways.
I'm just saying they climb Mount Everest. If they tumble off, okay.
Gunnar Stockton, another name that could be a quarterback in there. Mayava. There's too many. There's just so many good returning quarterbacks that
Wouldn't they add Jeremiah if he has a great year?
You might have Jeremiah and three quarterbacks, but I'll go over because, gosh, you just go through this list of Heisman odds, and there's so many good quarterbacks in college. But we didn't even mention Reed.
Just how many will they take to
John
New York?
John Mateer.
Right?
Sellers. Gosh, it is an incredible list of returning quarterbacks.
But it's the question, over. Too, is there a running back that's just going to be Ashton Gentry? Like, are they going to sneak one in? Last season, Jeremiah Love?
I don't think so. If anything, I think they'd sneak in the receiver.
Yeah.
Not the running back.
Sam Levitt.
Is there a running back you have in your mind?
Not yet.
Because
I could see Tony and Jeremiah Smith being two that would change that quarterback Heisman dynamic.
Maybe this kid from Missouri, Hardy.
He's coming back from a gunshot wound.
He was an AP All-American.
Does it feel like Jeremiah is a lock to get there or no?
No.
Well, it's never a lock for a receiver to get there.
I don't think lock. No.
Does he have to have an incredible season to get there?
Because you take Sain and him to the ceremony? If we're talking about all the quarterbacks that might be eligible?
Well, we had this whole debate. I felt like we did this during the tailgate show all year last year on Saturdays where we were debating, like, can Jeremiah Smith be a Heisman finalist or does Julian Sain get the credit for it? So it was like battling back and forth.
Well, the other part about that was Carnell Tate was making circus catches every weekend.
No doubt.
He was stealing a little bit of his thunder.
The touchdowns away.
Yeah, just not even from numbers, but just highlights.
Yeah.
Felt like he stole a little bit of his thunder.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go over four.
Last one here. We'll circle back to LeBron. Seasons played in Philadelphia. 1.5.
Over. I think it's two.
You think he makes both years?
Oh, yeah. Unless he wins in the first year, and then he could ride off with a championship. Unless he feels like he could go back-to-back.
I still feel like he's going to go two.
I'll take the over because that would be counter to my argument that they're going to win this year. So I'll take the over. All right, those are your overs and unders into the weekend. We'll come back, top of the hour, sports update. Nick Saban will not give up the fight for conference pride. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Anberg. LeBron James will spend his 24th NBA season in Philadelphia. Per reports, the NBA's all-time leading...
Bobby Carpenter was voted Best Talk Radio Personality by Columbus Monthly Readers. Catch Bobby daily on Morning Chew, 6 to 8 a.m. on the Fan's YouTube channel, the Fan app, and on demand on the 10 TV streaming app. Oh, and Tito's there too. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies continue for the rest of the day. Kind of filtered sunshine out there. Otherwise, it's still not bad. Highs around 80 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows fall down to the lower 60s. For your Saturday, partly sunny skies. Just a touch more humidity. Highs reach the lower 80s. Could be a stray shower on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
Scotty, do me a favor. Pull up the leaderboard of the 3M Open.
I got it open. All right.
So I don't know where he is, but the runaway favorite before the tournament, of course, was Scottie Scheffler. He committed to the event several months ago. I think this is his debut there. He's prohibitive betting favorite.
Yeah, it was like 2-1.
Yeah,
it
was unbelievable. So he's desperately in search of another win on the tour. This is a prime opportunity because I do believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, of the official world golf rankings, there's no other top 30 player in the field except him.
It looks looking at this field.
This is truly Scotty versus the field based on the price. There are two events left on the tour before the playoffs start. And most of the top players who made this trip to Minnesota did it out of desperation. So they're all jockeying for position. They got to be in the top 70 of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And so I'm going to tell you, he's been close. Scotty Scheffler has not won a tournament since late January. That was 16 tournaments ago. So not knowing where he is right now in the second round, you can tell me now, where is he?
Well, so we had Michael Kim shoot a 59 today. He went 12 under. So he is now at 14 under. Scotty Scheffler is 8 shots back. Now, he has not started his day today, but he... 8 shots back of Michael Kim, who went 12 under today.
All right, so this is a tournament that he has a chance, a great chance to win. And so why not put lop a little pressure onto him? He hasn't won since late January.
It's funny because I sat in this seat a week ago. It was Friday afternoon, and who did I put under the pressure cooker? I put Scotty Scheffler under the pressure cooker to win the British Open. He got close. He was in the ballpark late, but did not win it. So he did not succeed in the pressure cooker last week. We'll see if he does it for you this week. All right, my pressure cooker is going to Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, and here's why. So he has been championing this 24-team playoff for a long time now. He kind of presented it. It leaked to the media. He's really pushed other commissioners to kind of get behind the idea. And now, next week is Big Ten Media Days. And this is an opportunity for Tony Petitti to get in front of the cameras and really sell his case of why we want that 24-team playoff in college football and to get rid of the college football conference championship games. So this is a big week for Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti. So he goes in the pressure cooker.
I like it. And I'm very curious on why he doesn't think he has zero interest in 16 teams, right?
Yeah,
and
that's
off the
table.
He'll stick to 12. Yeah. Like if the SEC says we don't want 24, he'll stick at 12.
Yeah, because the SEC wants 16. Yeah.
The one thing I'll tell you about Petitti's argument it kind of falls in line with mine from the last segment, which is the 23 plus one model, if they are going to go to 24. So basically you're getting 23 of the top teams, regardless of conference affiliation. You'll get one group of six school, but it eliminates the conference championship games, as you said. But it really goes on then, who's the best? Let them in. Let's play it off. I'm not a big fan of 24, but if it had to be that way, at least I think this is designed okay, that there wouldn't be some auto bids, people getting just gifted into this thing.
But he has the opportunity this week, Anthony, to really sell it, because all the eyes of college football are going to be on him in media days, because we saw every word that Sankey said from the SEC, everybody was all listening intently to. I think it's going to be the same way for Tony Petitti.
Well, his sell is not really going to be what fans want to hear. Is he's going to say, well, I've got to make up for $200 million in losing to these conference championship games.
Right.
So, it probably all comes down to money, but I'm looking forward to hearing that argument about at 24, you're always trying to improve your resume. And you know, so somewhere between like 16 and 24 and 25, like the last week of the season, you will have to protect your spot. Like, so there'll be something in there from a competition standpoint, even though it sounds like it's going out the window. I'll go to baseball. I have this guy in our dinger draft. He's completely awful. So the Dodgers gave outfielder Kyle Tucker $240 million when they got him. A $64 million signing bonus. He was considered, I think, the top free agent this season. He turned down a qualifying offer from the Cubbies, so they actually got a compensatory draft pick out of it. The Dodgers had lost their third and sixth highest picks in the draft. They already had lost their second and fifth, and a million from another bonus pool when they signed closer Edwin Diaz earlier in the offseason. This is one of the most complete offensive threats, Scotty, in baseball. Kyle Tucker is 4 for his last 38. The last 2 weeks, he's batting 100. Last week, 105.
Oh, dear.
$240 million to bat 100-105? Like, there should be a penalty. Forfeit some of that.
Do you believe if we got up to the plate in a major league game that we could bat over 100?
No.
Over a month?
Over 100. You wouldn't even foul one off.
Really? You don't think we could foul a ball
major
off?
League baseball pitcher?
I feel like I'm at least making contact with the ball.
You're kidding me.
I mean, Ryan Baker's driving the ball 340 yards on the golf course.
Well, his ball's not moving. Yours will be.
You don't think that I can make contact?
I went over and took BP with the Clippers.
Okay.
Worked out great. They weren't trying to make me swing and miss.
Did you hit the ball?
Yeah, I hit it really well.
Okay.
That's BP.
That goes against what your argument is.
Scotty, trouble with the curve. You would look foolish
if I got four at-bats in a game.
I don't think you'd get a hit off a great high school pitcher.
Oh, we got to make this happen.
Let alone a major league
Isaiah,
pitcher.
We need to find a good local high school pitcher.
I'm going to text
pitcher.
Maddie. He's on vacation and get his feeling on this.
We're going to set this up. We have
at
got
least
to get
let's
out
bring
to,
it back to a level of at least an argument.
I think I'm at least making contact with the ball.
All right. Could you get a splinter on one? Fine. Are you hitting it out of the infield?
I'm not sure I could beat out like a grounder.
No, I'm not even asking you to run to first.
Oh, I'm not even running to first?
No,
I'm just making contact.
No, I think we have to talk about this for a second. The making contact, I don't know if I'd put every last dime on that. Maybe you'd luck into something.
You said I wasn't even going to be able to touch the ball.
One at bat?
No, four at bats. You get roughly four at bats in a game. So
the ball has to be in the zone, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I could take a walk or a hits Batman, right?
Hits Batman. Let's think about this for a second.
I'm excited about this. I want this opportunity.
You first said MLB. That's why
you dropped it to high school.
No, I've dropped it to high school now. Now I think you may get a little contact. MLB pitcher, that's never happening.
No chance, huh?
Not a chance.
What if we get like Kent Merker? You know Kent?
Not a chance. Oh, of him now? I don't know. I don't want him to throw his arm out, but you started with MLB pitcher. Let's be honest. That's where you started.
Okay. I think I could make contact with the ball. Assuming I'm getting 12
pitches.
First
of all, I think you'd be frightened just to dig in and face a 85-mile-an-hour fastball.
I agree. I think you would struggle to be in the box.
I don't think you would even be able to stay on balance.
You'd be like John Kruk.
Oh, you'd be in the bucket every time. Like, there wouldn't even be... I'd actually worry for you. You need one of those masks that the pitchers wear with the cage on it.
Well, I
need to be like armored.
I'd be like Barry Bonds. I'd have all the body the padding.
Yeah.
I'm making contact with a ball in four at bats.
I don't think so. Maybe a splinter.
So Maddie coaches, right? So
he does.
We got to make this happen.
All right. We'll talk to his roster and maybe we'll do it with his roster.
Okay.
A Ripple Baseball.
What do I get if I make contact with the ball?
Pride.
Okay.
I already have that.
Hang on. I think this changed. Making contact was MLB. There has to be a different threshold now. Like get a hit.
Get a hit.
Like something like that. Hit it out of the infield. Do something. Like it can't be just splinter one
what
off.
What if I lay down a bunt and then just
that's not
go
allowed.
Right down that's the first baseline?
I don't even know if you could bunt it.
Oh,
that may be harder. That's an art. It is.
I think I could lay down a bunt.
You may have a better chance swinging and hitting it than actually trying to bunt. Honestly.
I don't think
squaring up on an 85 or 90 mile an hour fastball? Maybe. I doubt it.
All right. We'll see. I think we can make this happen.
Talk about a pressure cooker. That's the one.
Yeah.
2 minutes, we come back with our friend Ben Axelrod, front office show up in Cleveland, and find out if he feels the Cavs were at all at fault for not landing LeBron. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony's tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Boy, the dream of the fairy tale ending has ended. LeBron going full wild card here with the Sixers. Not from a roster standpoint, but maybe from a geographic point of view. You know, it was either staying Cali and being near the family and the daughter. That was in play. And then it was maybe play with the all geriatrics out there. And then it was, okay, if he doesn't do that, would he go back down to play for Spoelstra and Miami and Pat Riley and they get Giannis? Like, it really felt like Cleveland was in this mix. And our friend Ben Axelrod is with us. He's the news and media editor at Front Office Sports. Ben, great to have you aboard, bud. How you been?
What up, gang? How you guys doing?
Good, man. Describe the decision here for you. Were you leaning into this like this very much could happen? How does it feel today?
You know, it's been really bizarre because obviously, you know, since LeBron announced he wasn't returning to the Lakers almost 4 weeks ago at this point, this has been one of the biggest stories in sports, but it's really been short on developments. Like other than Rich Paul, you know, doing his podcast and openly talking about the free agency, like it wasn't like 2010 where LeBron's, you know, having these big high profile meetings and going on a big free agency tour. So it's been slow in terms of news developments. I mean, I was talking to a colleague yesterday. I set the over-under on when he'd make a decision at August 1st. So it really kind of came out of nowhere today, and the Sixers especially came out of nowhere. I mean, we haven't heard LeBron linked to the Sixers really since the first week of free agency. It's really been the Cavs, the Warriors, and the Heat. But that's also like not really been based on anything. That's been based on like prediction market odds and things that don't really, you know, matter ultimately when it comes to these decisions. So yeah, I mean, I was caught off guard today. I thought it really came out of the blue, both in terms of the timing and the decision that he ultimately made to sign with Philadelphia.
Ben, Miami and the Sixers made two massive moves, right? One gets Giannis, the other gets Jaylen Brown. The Cavs made the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, it's not like they're nothing. It's not like they had to just drastically change their roster to lure him there. But the feeling we're getting a little bit is that Cleveland kind of was just hoping. Like they were just kind of huddled in hope. Do you feel like they could have or should have done anything proactively to get him?
You know, I don't know what that move would be. I'm struggling to think of what that move would be. I guess, you know, there'd been some speculation about trading Jared Allen, finding a way to package Jared Allen to get Anthony Davis. But, like, I don't know. Anthony Davis is pretty injury prone at this point in his career. I don't know how much that makes you better. I think the Cavs approach this like, hey, you know, we're only in this LeBron sweepstakes right now because he's willing to play for less. And if he's willing to play for less, we feel like we have a team that just made the Eastern Conference Finals. We have a roster that's obviously ready to contend. You know, there's the obvious ties of him being from Northeast Ohio and having spent most of his career in Cleveland. So I think Cleveland, you know, they weren't super aggressive about this. I think, you know, they thought if the allure of coming back home was enough, then it would be enough. But if not, they feel good about the roster that they have with Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. So, you know, I don't. I'm not, you know, as somebody who follows the Cavs, as somebody who likes the Cavs, I'm not really, you know, all that frustrated that they weren't more aggressive, because I'm kind of struggling to think of what that move might have even been.
So, Ben, the 76ers move up to the fourth best odds to win the NBA championship now, kind of in the 9-1, 10-1 range. You still have the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Knicks ahead of them. Earlier in the show, we were kind of doing an over-under on number of championships LeBron wins in Philadelphia at over-under a half. And I think probably the obvious answer would be to take the under on that based on the odds that they're fourth this year. What's your thoughts on the 76ers? Are they now, for you, the favorite in the team you would expect to win the NBA championship? Or where are they in that conversation?
I would still have the Knicks as the favorite. I think when you look at the postseason the Knicks are coming off of, I think you would need a really seismic move to move the needle and put any of the teams in the East ahead of the Knicks. Now, obviously, LeBron, you know, going to Philadelphia, you could argue that's seismic in terms of the name and in terms of the attention that it brings. But I think that Sixers roster is a really strange roster. When you look at the usage of Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown, LeBron, Joel Embiid, like, I don't know. My mind goes to, will they, you know, now look to move maybe Joel Embiid? I think this roster might have made more sense with Paul George in the Jaylen Brown spot than it does with Jaylen Brown, just in terms of usage. So, you know, I think it's definitely, I think, the most interesting move LeBron could have made in terms of, you know, which team he goes for in hopes of contending. I think the Sixers were probably the you know, strongest roster overall of the teams he was looking at. But I still think it's a weird fit, and it's going to be interesting to see how all these pieces kind of gel together.
Ben Axelrod with us, Front Office Sports, here on the Bryant Heat and Coin Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We've debated all offseason about Deshaun versus Shedeur, and maybe it would be beneficial for someone maybe not to win the starting job based on the way their schedule lays out with a brand-new coach right out of the gate. But is your firm belief that this will be a combination platter this season, that eventually they'll both play a significant amount of games, and that'll be the chance for the Browns to have somewhat of an idea of what they have to do?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, you know, if you were to set the over-under on these guys and the amount of starts they're going to have, you know, they'd both probably be right around like 8.5. Like, it's, I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Deshaun is perceived as the front runner, because I think the idea is that it would be easier to go from Deshaun to Shedeur than vice versa, to go from Shedeur to, you know, give up on the younger guy and have to go to Deshaun. But look, I mean, there's a lot of questions with Deshaun. He's coming off not just the Achilles. He never really seemed to recover from that shoulder injury that he suffered in 2023. He really didn't have a lot of zip on the ball. That zip was really lacking in terms of what you need from a quarterback. So yeah, it's interesting, because it's been kind of the same conversation around the Browns ever since the draft and ever since this quarterback room kind of took shape the way that it did. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of agrees that regardless of who's the starter here in that first week of September, that you're going to, you know, get ample opportunity to see both Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders at some point this season.
Did you like the trade, the Myles Garrett trade?
I thought it was about as well as you could have done with trading Myles Garrett. I think, you know, to bring back, nobody's going to replace Myles Garrett, but to bring back a young pass rusher in Jared Verse, who's made the Pro Bowl in each of his first 2 years in the NFL. You know, a guy who is under team control for the next 3 seasons at least, and you know, we'll probably be looking at a pretty nice extension a year from now. I think that you added up with the first round pick. I think it was probably about as well as the Browns could have looked to do. But I mean, that's also the reality of trading a guy like Myles Garrett. Is like, you're always going to be the team that loses the trade because, you know, it's a generational pass rusher going the other way. So, I mean, I liked it in terms of, I thought, you know, it was time to move on and it was time to make that trade, but ultimately you don't like that this franchise is in a position where they have to make a deal like the one they made.
Is it a weird year for you with the Browns, like it is for me, with the fact that, yeah, they want to find out if they have a quarterback, but it really would benefit them if they don't win a ton of games, because if things are kind of half and half, then they can go into the 27 draft and feel like they're in a better position to maybe get a quarterback without using all their ammunition. And then it's always tough to use ammunition with a team that needs a quarterback, right? So you'd have to find a team up top that already has one, but it's still pretty bad. Like, it's kind of a weird year. Like, I think if it goes the way, you know, Las Vegas thinks it'll go, they'll win less than 5 games and they'll be positioned just fine, I guess. But where are you on what this year means to their big picture?
It's a very strange year. I think that's a good way to put it. I think, you know, you look at, you know, the two most important positions in football, a lot of people say are the quarterback and the head coach. And, you know, I think, you know, there's obviously some diehard Shador fans, that there's, you know, a much smaller group of diehard Deshaun Watson fans, but realistically, like, not a lot of Browns fans I know have a lot of optimism about this quarterback room. And all eyes are to the 2027 NFL draft, you know, a loaded quarterback draft. Hopefully, it feels like we've been saying that the last 3 years and it never seems to shake out that way. But I think there's enough names in this college crop here that it will, you know, you'll have a handful of guys who are at least first round talents. But to be in that position to draft those guys, you're going to have to lose games. And if you lose games, then, you know, I think a lot of people think Todd Monken realistically might be one and done. Like, this is not a young head coach. This is not a guy who was highly sought after by other teams. Like, it's pretty easy to imagine that if this team loses as many games as you just projected and Las Vegas is projecting, that the Browns will also be looking for not just the quarterback, but a new head coach next January. So, but outside of that, there's also a lot of promising young talent on the roster. Like, a lot of people are excited about Kinshawn Junkins. A lot of people are excited about Denzel Boston and Casey Concepcion and what they still have on defense even after trading Myles Garrett. So you'd like to see, you know, Harold Fannin, you'd like to see all those guys take steps forward. But how are those guys going to take steps forward in a season where you're still losing games? So yeah, it's a really disjointed experience as a Browns fan, but also ultimately a position that the Browns fans have been used to for the last 30 years.
Yeah, well, this is a fork in the road for them again. So we'll see which way they take. My man, always good to have you, buddy. Thanks for jumping on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Ben Axelrod, Front Office Sports on the Bryan Heat and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. We will come back and check in on the pod pairing that should happen. One just did. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot, and you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
I would like to see Scotty in the batter's box against Jacob Mizorowski.
I want a shot.
Nobody beats the Miz.
Because
you want a shot at what?
I want
not seeing a 105-mile-an-hour fastball go by you, just hearing it rather than seeing it.
You said I couldn't hit the ball off a high school pitcher.
I said I didn't think you could get a hit off a high school of a really good high school pitcher. You started the conversation with you thought you could hit a major league pitcher.
I didn't say hit. I just said I could get a piece of the ball on a swing. And I'm
You say peace? I don't remember that.
I did, and I'm starting to get a few doubts because I've been texting some pretty decent baseball guys who would know what, know what's going on, and they've got doubts.
Guys from the Sandlot.
they have some doubts of whether I could get a piece, including
assuming they agree
the
with
great
me.
Man Isaiah behind the glass there does not think I could get a piece of the ball.
No.
I'm almost 100% certain that you couldn't get a piece of the
four
ball.
Four up, four down.
So you're talking 12 balls, 12 strikes. I'm not touching the ball.
Total pitches? No, I'm not saying that he would throw three strikes in a row. I mean, I guess you could take a pitch that wasn't theoretically a strike, and that would keep you alive. Like, if we did this, like, home run derby, and you only got a certain amount of, I don't know, swings, right? We'd have to count every swing. If you're telling me I give you a dozen swings, you choose when you want to swing. So we wouldn't even make it maybe three strikes and you're out. We would just say you have 12 swings. Use them at your own risk.
Okay.
And that way, if you want to take a pitch, but...
And if I foul it off, it's okay.
Well, here's the problem with that theory that I just came up with. You could sit in there with the bat on your shoulder for 5 minutes. Like, that's not... We can't have that.
And then wait for the pitcher to get tired?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Can't have that. Can't have that.
I wouldn't do that.
You guys mentioned this to me before the show that... And I haven't heard it yet, but it sounds pretty good, that Jim Tressel had Thad Matta on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the two just kind of... I don't know, reminisced about their time.
That's exactly right. That's what happened. Jim Tressel's podcast, Thad came on. And what was amazing...
That it got really down and dirty. About both departures.
And again, these are my two favorite coaches of all time, right? Jim Tressel, Thad Matta. It doesn't get any better than that for me. But Thad talked about his first year at Ohio State and kind of talked about how because Ohio State was on a NCAA tournament ban, that it actually kind of helped him a little bit because he felt like, hey, we're not playing for a tournament berth. We've got, you know, nothing to play for. Let's go all in. Let's go all out. And so he thought that helped him loosen up a little bit. And then he talked a little bit about recruiting Greg Oden and Mike Conley and Daquan Cook and bringing those guys into the game and how
the Thad Five.
The Thad Five. Yeah. Yeah. And how he was so nervous bringing Greg Oden in that he was nervous that, gosh, you got the number one recruit in the country and people were talking about him as being a generational recruit. And he brought him in and he was nervous to coach him because he was worried about it. He didn't want to screw it up.
It's interesting to me that because they weren't supposed to save the program. The program was already fine at that point. Like they were, that was just to put them over the top because weren't they really good the year before?
They were good. Yes. Yeah. They weren't great. They weren't. So they were like a borderline tournament.
They won the Big Ten.
Yeah. So you're right. They lost in the second round of the tournament that year.
They were better than Iowa. They were better than Illinois. They were really good. They got to the second round of the tourney. Was that the Georgetown game?
It was.
You would remember this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
Roy Hibbert, I believe.
I mean, that's a team that probably went 25-5, whatever they went. Oden, and they got him. Who else was all a part of that?
Oden, Conley, Daquan Cook.
Daquan, okay.
David Leidy.
Leidy, yep.
Was a part of that. And I want to say Othello Hunter was okay. The fifth member of that group.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking because my two favorite coaches of all time were on a podcast. And it got me thinking, okay, what would be the ultimate podcast for Anthony Rothman? If these two humans got together and were hosting a pod together, what would be a guarantee that Anthony would just be all in? Because I was all in.
Sports or non-sports? Anything?
However you want to go. Do you want like a right now? Or do you want like a rivalry podcast where you sit Rory McIlroy right there and you sit Bryson DeChambeau right here and they just go at it for an hour on a podcast? Or what is the ideal Anthony Rothman?
So it's an
pod?
Old school one, as you could probably predict. Now, if you're telling me that everyone's eligible, dead or alive, then
I think we got to go just alive.
If it was dead or alive, then I'm probably putting Bob Knight with Kurt Cignetti.
Oh.
Like, Like if it's that,
because that would be fireworks.
That'd be one of those. They're not rivals, but it'd be very interesting to me because he is kind of has that bravado about him. If it was anything, I think it would be Chevy Chase and Bill Murray.
Ooh, talking Caddyshack, talking.
I mean, it was
because they didn't like each other.
They did not like each other, and when he came back to SNL, there was an incident where Chevy came back to SNL for the first time as a guest host, and he was really popular on the show, and it was quite a transition. He had gone to movies, and he was a star, and it was basically the tension between the two of them, and I didn't really realize how bad things got, but that would be, I mean, two of my all-time favorites at the time, so I would probably go that way.
Speaking of dead or alive, so if we're talking passed away, how about a Woody and Bo podcast? Like how
incredible,
how insane the stories that would be told during that.
Don't even know how much they could really tell, or maybe
this is a tell-all pod.
I mean, there's a chance it could be a little overhyped. I don't know. Based on, I mean, what they'd be willing to reveal.
This is a tell-all. They have to say every story that they're asked. The other one would be, how about a Harbaugh and Day podcast? Yeah. They sit down.
Be great.
Like you and I are sitting here 5 feet from each other, and they just have a one-hour conversation. How amazing would that podcast be?
How much Coach Day would require to be paid to do that, to go through
that? I don't
think
there's a number. I bet if you told Coach Day $20 million, if you sit down and talk with Jim Harbaugh for an hour and
work out
all
the old
topics
born on
the
third base deal, let's work that out.
That's how we start out the pod, so that we bring up
lead
the quote,
off home run.
Because you know what, Isaiah is the third man in a podcast here at the Fan, right, with Devere and Dane. Isaiah, you could sit in with Harbaugh and Ryan Day, and you could that would be what you would bring up on the big screen, that quote right there
on the Twitter. Just bring up, what do you mean when you said that third Ryan base. Was born on third base?
Yeah,
we know exactly what he meant. We know, we want to know why he said it and where it stands now. Yeah, because now Harbaugh with the old get out of Dodge before everything, you know, failed at Michigan.
Ooh.
And he could start lighting him up on that.
That would be a great follow-up
question.
Heard
you pulled a real Pete Carroll, Coach.
Heard your little Michigan coaching tree, not such a good tree.
No. That is interesting, though. Who knows? Maybe that'll birth something, the fact that these coaches got together. Now, obviously, Tress and Thad were at the same school and like each other, both bleed scarlet and gray and all of that, but that is interesting. All right, we're going to come back. Deep dive, top of the hour. You know the big story. LeBron makes his decision. How'd he come to it? He had a lengthy tweet. We'll get to it next. Rothman and Ice in the
City.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Blue Jackets and Cole Sillinger reportedly have avoided arbitration with a three-year, $13.9 million deal. He had 33 points in a career-high 81 games last season. CBJ's only unsigned player is now restricted free agent Adam Fantilli, who is currently vacationing in Italy. NBA four-time NBA MVP LeBron James is signing with the Philadelphia 76ers on a two-year, $8 million deal with a player option. Baseball today, Guardians visit the Rays at 7:10. Cleveland trails first place Chicago by a game and a half in the AL Central. Reds are at the Cardinals at 8:15. Cincinnati 6 games back of an NL wildcard spot. Soccer, Columbus Crew host FC Cincinnati Saturday at 7:15 in the Hell is Real rivalry. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union. BMIFCU.org/Visa.
Shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
Final hour of the program, Rothman and Ice, Scotty Vegas in for the Iceman, Jensen Lewis, bottom of the hour. We'll talk guards and Reds, MLB, maybe a little bit of the week that was with him at 2:30. LeBron's a Sixer, and it shows that he picked where he could win. That it, all the talk about maybe geography and family and all of that, I think took a back seat. I'm not saying he's not interested in that stuff, but the dude's got 1 to 2 years left, max. This is it. This was about finding a place where he could maybe end his career after 25 years in the NBA and have that as a wonderful anniversary-type feel of his NBA career. And I don't know if everything was a real blank slate to him. I mean, there were certain teams that obviously outweighed the others, Miami, Cleveland, Golden State. And I guess what I'm going to take out of this is that he achieved the basketball goal. This certainly has nothing tied to any nostalgia. So anything that I had for him or any Cleveland fan had for him is out the window. Like, because I really thought that could win the day. And the reason I did was not just the home heartstrings pulling. It was they have a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't ask him to go back to Cleveland just to go ceremonial. Okay, you could bookend it that way, but he's not, he even admitted he's not suiting up for that. What he's suiting up for is to be competitive and try to win, and that's what he chose. And maybe we should all have been listening when he dropped the trust the process and I'm going to take my time. That wasn't just to dramatically string it along just to pick Cleveland. Like, it wasn't. And certainly I'll admit it. I really had him in Cleveland. I think it all lined up for him. His strength is their weakness. They're a good team. Money, they could fit him in. Clearly, money wasn't the reason. And that he could bookend it in Cleveland where it began. Now, maybe there would have been more pressure in Cleveland that he would have to deliver another one. And if he didn't, maybe he felt like, I don't want to deal with that. I delivered their lone title. They'll forever be grateful and we'll move along. But the Sixers become a real deal. And also, he avoided the West, so he wanted to be in the East. So it's not, when you look at the roster and you think about this from a basketball standpoint, this is not a massive shock. It didn't really materialize because, well, I did after the Jaylen Brown, because I mentioned it to Maddie the second that trade happened, but I still have to admit I did not have him going there. And here he is. So you want to call it a ring chase? Well, isn't that the ultimate compliment, that he wanted the best roster, that he didn't want to just make it about him and his swan song? He actually wanted to be a part of something that had pressure attached to it. Because now he is making this move to a great team, and now people are going to expect him to at least be in an NBA Finals over the next 2 years. So it does have some pressure attached to it. So
it's weird. It is a little bit of a surprise, though, Anthony, how this thing played out. Because if you look at the odds this morning, the Miami Heat were about a 40% chance in the probability markets, in the prediction markets. It looked like about a 40% chance that he was going to go to the Heat, about a 30% chance he was going to go to the Cavs, 20% chance that he was going to go to the Warriors, and about 10 that he would go to the 76ers. So, and those were odds from this morning, right? So it was a little bit of a surprise, but ultimately, once this thing was done, you look back and you're like, well, the team that probably, of the four finalists, that probably has the best chance of winning the championship was the 76ers. So in that sense, if you're just chasing the title, that's what made sense. But you had the Heat, the Cavs, the Warriors. I think just about everyone would have put the 76ers behind those three going into today.
Two I would have. Miami and Cleveland I would have.
Not Golden State.
I don't know. That one seemed much less basketball and more family. And if you were doing that, why wouldn't you just stay in L.A.? Like to leave the Lakers to go to Golden State, I didn't really see the whole point in that. But he is going to be, so there's always going to be polarizing views of this. And I was just reading something on Deadspin about how this is the ultimate slap in the face to Cleveland. I don't really see it completely that way. He's a legend for them. He always will be. But the basis of the story is that LeBron still making every moment about him, dragging it out for as long as he did, and then ruining any opportunities for the Cavs to bring in other free agents, that he did all this just to finish his career in Philly. I never really looked at it completely that way, that on paper, this is a really good decision for him, and it is his decision, And so I don't really fault him for that. Jaylen Brown wanted out of Boston to lead his own team, and now he's got to welcome LeBron in there. But, like, here, let me read you this paragraph, and you guys give me your take on this, Zeke especially, because you're more of the Cavs diehard. He goes, I think my biggest problem with this move is the lead-up. If LeBron said he was leaving the Lakers and went right to the Sixers, I wouldn't have any big issues. Instead, he went on a media tour stating that this move would be for his happiness and nothing more. So if you were looking for happiness out of a farewell tour, that would have come with a return home to Cleveland. That I agree with. Now a new cycle of hate begins for LeBron in Philly. The guy who's received the most hate in his career is joining the most hateful fans in what will be a year-long of hate from the other 29 fan bases in the NBA. LeBron wants to be seen better as Michael, but at every turn he makes the move that would make the most people dislike him. The only fan base that truly defended him at every turn has been Cleveland, and now they are back to hating him once again.
Wait a second. Like, Cleveland fans have always been in on his side. Like, do you remember that first game back in Cleveland when he was with the Miami Heat and how ugly that was? I don't think Cleveland was always.
These are fans that once he delivered the title, there he could do no wrong anymore. And so I think this is a strong take. I don't agree with it. I think Cavs fans were kind of half in, half out of this. There was a possibility they'd get their hearts broken, and maybe it happened for a lot of fans today, but I don't think that they view this as an absolute slap in the face, fool me once, all that. I just don't see that he'll be a legend for them. And
let's ask a Cavs fan, right? We have one about 15 feet from us.
Do you feel betrayed today?
I don't feel betrayed by LeBron, but the only reason this hurts is because it felt like it could happen. A couple years ago, I said that I would love for him to return to Cleveland to do his farewell tour, but I didn't think the Cavs would be coming off of an Eastern Conference Finals where the only piece they were really missing was a small forward. Like, it felt like it was a perfect fit, and LeBron almost, in my mind, was, this is obvious. He's going to come back to Cleveland. And that's why it hurts. If we were a middlesome team, then I would say, you know what, it makes sense, go win somewhere. But it feels like the Cavs could win if they just had him.
The one thing, if you want to knock him, is that he did go public with making it a big deal about the conversation he had with his daughter and wanting to remain close with his wife in Los Angeles. And so that was going to maybe drive part of this. But other than that, it'd be a leap to say that he was the villain in this. He had every right to choose, and so he took an extra week and a half to do it. Is it somewhat surprising because Cleveland's a really good team? Yes. It lined up for Cleveland. That's the only shock for me. He wasn't going to go there to save them. He was going there to help them, and that's why I thought it was going to happen.
So at the beginning of the show, we put together a poll. I have not looked at any of the results, but I am dying to know. So, Anthony, what was that poll?
We'll get those results when we come back. I first want to tell you about my friends up at McDaniel GM Superstore. That's the choice I made. It's the choice Maddie made. We didn't take a month to think about it. We didn't talk about other places that we were contemplating. McDaniel GM Superstore, they are awesome. They believe in transparency. With every deal, they will go the extra mile for you like they have me, and they're still doing it. I'm making them jump through hoops, and they are coming through with flying colors. They've got great deals right now. 2026 Silverado 1500, you can save up to $13,000 off MSRP or 0% APR for 60 months. Other great vehicles, the Equinox, the Traverse LT, even the 2027 Bolt RS. You can lease that for as low as $375 a month for 36 months. Terms and conditions apply. It's not a long drive. It's a very pleasant drive up Route 23 North. You hit 95 and you are there. The McDaniel GM Superstore, Chevrolet, together, let's drive. We'll come back with that poll, and then I will force Scotty to build the perfect NFL division parlay this year. Rothman and Ice on the phone.
Bishop and Friends.
He's 100% right. He knows if I go wake him up tomorrow and they're up before her, then it's going to come on me.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly sunny skies continue for the rest of the day. Kind of feel good sunshine out there. Otherwise, it's still not bad. Highs around 80 this afternoon. Mostly clear skies tonight. Lows fall down to the lower 60s. For your Saturday, partly sunny skies. Just a touch more humidity. Highs reach the lower 80s. Could be a stray shower on Sunday. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
Remember when we're all thinking about landing spots for Tyreek Hill? Like, and then talking about him in fantasy? Guy says he has zero power in his injured leg 10 months after surgery. Like, it's time to admit that it's might be over for Tyreek Hill in his career. Who knows? I mean, I'm not his doctor, nor am I one, so I wouldn't know. But no power 10 months after surgery?
That's no good.
No, that's no good. And he's 32. It's, you know, he still had some time left. Maybe if it returns, somebody will pick him up. But that's not happening right now. LeBron, our poll for LeBron. Zeke, do you have the numbers on this right now? I could pull it up for you.
I do. I've got them here.
All right.
So leading the way, 40%. Forever grateful.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very
upset send of
that
the day.
Send that to Deadspin.
I had that last. I thought that would be dead last. Can you read how we exactly phrased the question, Isaiah?
So the question was, dear Cavs fans, your feelings on LeBron's decision. At 40%, we've got forever grateful. At 31%, good riddance. Gut punch at 26%. And then the curse continues at 3%.
Deadspin went on to write, cameras will be following LeBron all season in a, quote, last dance style doc, and it will not be the results LeBron wants. This team and season will be an absolute disaster for him, and I can't believe he would make such a short-sighted move. It's a good roster. Then again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 100 times. Maybe you're just a bad guy.
Oh, jeez.
Well, LeBron, you could have made it all better by just coming to Cleveland.
As
you said,
all
lined up for you.
As you said, there's a ton of people out there who hate LeBron.
Yeah, it's going to happen that way for him. Real quickly, the Jackets avoid arbitration with Cole Sillinger. 3-year contract extension. Over $4.5 million per, 3x4.5 or 3x4.6. And I like Cole. He's 23. He's still got a very good career ahead of him. But that is a lot of money for a guy who's put up, 30-some-odd points? So now the key is, how much money do they have left for Adam Fantilli? And it's about, if you believe, they have about a little over $14 million in available cap. So guess what he's going to say? Let's spend it all. So that will be interesting because he's certainly getting into the double digits. We were going to build an NFL parlay off and tell you how much it would pay. Now, the reason we're doing this is because Scotty and I did this years ago together. Years ago. And we're driving home from playing golf. I think we stopped at a Wendy's.
We were at Longaberger. We played out at Virtues. Yeah. Stopped at the Wendy's about halfway back to Westerville.
And on a cocktail napkin.
Yes.
They don't serve cocktails there, but on a napkin.
We circled teams that we thought would win the divisions in the NFL. And somehow, some way, we got all 8. And yeah, it all came down to the final. It was a Sunday night game. It was Packers and Vikings. And we needed the Packers to win the division. They did. And we cashed a nice big parlay.
So, as I like to call this, a Don Henley building the perfect beast. And I think we're both going to just lock in the Rams to do it. Unless you see some crazy value that on somebody else.
To win the NFC West?
I mean,
we're going division by division.
Yeah,
here,
I mean,
right?
Would we take the Niners? I'm just starting with the Rams because they seem like
that
okay,
either.
Okay, we're not doing that.
All right,
they lost Kenny Walker.
They're the defending
champs. Like, I don't. And listen, a lot of this is schedule, too. You'd probably have to look at schedule. But let's not overthink the Rams right now, even though the Niners should be better. And Seattle certainly will be competitive, but
lock in the Rams.
Lock it in.
As far as the other divisions, I want to lock in the Bills in the AFC East. I know the Patriots.
Over the Pats.
I know, but it's a two-team division. I think the Patriots take the step back this year. Yeah, I want to lock in the Bills.
They take a step back because their schedule won't be as easy.
That too.
That's probably the main reason. I got no problem with rooting for the Bills and rooting for this bet.
Do you want to go with the Eagles at +130 or the Cowboys at 2-1? I want to go Eagles, I think.
I want to go Eagles. I like them. I mean, they have a little weakness in the back end defensively, but I would go with Philly.
What about AFC North? Ravens are the favorite. It's Bengals right there at +175. I want to go Bengals. I really want to go Bengals.
So I would go Bengals with you just on getting the value.
Okay.
I think, right? I mean, there's more value there, and I think it's somewhat of a toss-up, and the Bengals schedule is going to be easier, so I'm okay with that.
Bills, Bengals. Right now we have Rams and Eagles. Right now we're already at 22-1. That's pretty solid, taking four.
I like the sound of that.
AFC South, do we trust C.J. Stroud and the Texans? Do we want to go Jags? Colts? I don't think we want to go Titans.
I would go Texans.
All right, Texans in there.
Proving year for CJ. I'm not loving their offensive line. It's a little shaky, the Moyle, but I will go with the fact that their defense is still a big strength.
Let's stay away from the AFC West. I don't, like, with Mahomes.
Thought we were doing every division. Pie in the sky, man.
All right, fine. You want huge odds. Or you want Chiefs?
Because we're right. Because it's
Chargers or Broncos.
It's hard to pick that one.
I know. I want to stay away from
Denver, KC, and the Chargers. KC and the Chargers, I almost look at being similar. Where are you on Denver?
I'm going to say a little bit of a step back from last year.
I think they're better than the other two teams. I think they're better than the Chargers, and they're better than Kansas City right now. They have a great offensive line. Now, the X factor is the QB and his health. But you could say the same thing about Kansas City.
I'd be worried they kill the bet. Let's leave the West out. We're at 55-1.
So we don't care how the West was won.
We don't care how the West was won, but we do care how the NFC North was won. And
this is tough.
This is wild.
Bears or Lions, right?
Packers, Bears.
Oh my.
Give me the Bears.
God, everybody likes the Packers. And I in this.
I'd say the Bears. At 3-1, that skyrockets the parlay.
Don't make me root for the Bears. All right, fine.
All right, we're at 210-1.
Seriously.
Yep.
Just with that.
With those six. 210-1.
Maybe we just lock that in. Who's left?
NFC South. Wide open. Really wide open. I could see any of the four winning it.
Well, we have to assume that Baker's playing. And he's going to... I love their defensive front. And, you know...
We can avoid that tax bill if we don't...
Let me ask you this. If we put in...
Over 300-1. So...
What a great problem to have. I would say put in Tampa and see what it spits out.
All right. It spits out. Oh, my gosh.
I know. That's right.
600-1.
All right. So we're leaving them in. We're leaving them in because if that division gets squirrely, you know what we do? We drive back to Wendy's and dial up a hedge bet on a napkin.
All right. All right. 600-1.
That's pretty amazing.
Rams, Bills, Eagles, Bengals, Texans, Bears, and Buccaneers to win the division.
What if it comes down to not Tampa? What if this thing came down to how would our heart rates be if it came down to week 17, New Year's Eve, Baltimore Bengals at Cincy, night game? Would we go?
Oh, for sure.
For sure we'd be there. With $60,000 on the line.
Winning that game.
Assuming we're each doing 100 a man.
No, yeah, you got to assume that.
Oh, if we're doing that, it's $120,000. Now, taxes will be involved, but
let Uncle Sam chase us a little bit.
Mm.
All right.
That sounds good.
It sounds good. Now I have to have the
guts to send
you a C-note.
We did it once.
Can we do
Wendy's,
it again?
Halfway between Westerville and wherever Longaberger
probably
is.
Should have gone back to the scene of the crime before we make the bet, just for nostalgic reasons.
We should.
To hit send there.
Yeah.
Give it a little. Give
what
it a
did
little
you order?
Dusting of good luck.
I think you ordered a mini Frosty.
Must have been a Frosty involved. I know that. All right. We're coming back in a couple minutes, and we'll have our boy Jensen Lewis, and we'll talk about the guards and what they have to do to stay afloat and make the playoffs themselves. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Today. Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
At your own risk. It's time for some chin music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Feeling the heat?
Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane air conditioners.
All right, here we go with our guy, Jensen Lewis, VSiN by the books, MLB Network Radio, and our good friend here on Rothman and Ice. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems bullpen phone line. J-Lew, my man, how you feeling?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Outstanding. Before we get to Mr. Rawlings, let's at least revisit that open championship. And my gut is that not a lot of people did bet Ryan Fox for a couple reasons. One, all right. Before the tournament, I think he was 225-1. So if you were looking for a deep sleeper, I guess maybe some people probably did that. I think the reason that nobody really bet him late, and this happens a lot in golf, especially to guys that are a little more no-name, he shot 62 on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nobody was willing to go in on 8-1 on Sunday thinking that he was going to be the guy again. It's very hard to play that well 2 days in a row. Not that he had to shoot 62, but the fact that he just done it. And so he really was a guy that I don't think people were backing. And then really it was Sam Burns' tournament to lose in a way. You know, he had the lead going in on Sunday. Here's the odd part, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think I saw Cam Young at 150-1 before he started the final round on Sunday. He was that far back.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's sitting in the clubhouse with a chance to either go to a playoff or win it outright. And I can imagine if you had that $150-1 ticket on him that you were going to hedge at the end. Now, the question is, would you have hedged on Burns or Fox? And maybe both if you had a big enough bounty on it. But it was a wild finish to see that dude come out of really nowhere in a way and birdie four of the last six and steal it.
100%. Can I interest you in Ryan Fox available at 750-1 at one point in round three? And
really? I know he shot over par to start the tournament. I think he was two over to start. You're telling me he was 750-1 before he shot the 62.
Even better, round one, we had a guy on VSiN who we were able to interview on our Follow the Money show in the afternoon. He grabbed Ryan Fox at 2,000-1, has the ticket, put a $55 bet on it to win $110,000. So 2,000-1 is the highest that I've seen.
When did he get that?
In the middle of round one, I believe.
Yeah.
Because
that
was the over par round, and again, kind of seeing where the leaders were at that point. But even into round three, AR, 750-1, I mean, you still couldn't have entertained me there, and for good reason. The 150-1 on Cam Young, you could probably have entertained me a bit for a pizza money play because, hey, the guy's one of the best in the world. He's been playing better to get where he is. Yeah, if you had a 150-1 ticket and you're sitting on that for a couple of hours and just kind of seeing how everything was transpiring, I think you still felt pretty advantageous headed into the back nine.
Playoff at worst, maybe.
Exactly. You're going to have a chance to maybe come back on the other side, whoever's in the playoff at that point. But your point is well taken on It's a long shot of long shots. Congrats to him. My favorite part, AR, is he did not check the claret jug case underneath the plane. We're carrying that sucker on. Yeah. I don't even know if I would have had it in the case. That would have been seatbelted right next to me. I don't care who's sitting there. You can hold it in your lap. What a story the New Zealander was. The Kiwis on top for the champion golfer of the year.
Yeah, it's and Las Vegas rakes again because I just don't think, maybe like I said, there's a random ticket out there like your guys, but not many. He was even through two rounds before he shot that 62 on Saturday. And then, like I said, I don't think anybody then went back in on him at that point, but who knows? All right, let's get to it. The Guards, a game and a half back of the Sox. They're up a half game in the wild card. This is really going to be a fun race to watch, and it's going to be a fun race to watch before the trade deadline because I'm wondering, I want to get your opinion on the White Sox, who are no longer a fluke after 100 games, and now they, what are they going to do? Are they going to bolster their roster for the stretch run? The rotation has been solid, but some of the starters could run into, I guess, some workload issues. And then you look at it from the Guards' point of view. Now that they got J-Ram back, that's great, but what about trying to get another bat?
I think that is, again, not just one bat. You might need multiple bats considering where they are at the bottom of the lineup. And that's credit where it's due with Patrick Bailey all of a sudden finding some offensive prowess since he's become a member of the Guardians. Petey Halpin has been good, but let's see kind of where we are once Angel Martinez comes back because I think you're kind of looking at a roster spot that you know, it's either Gabriel Arias, it's Petey Halpin. Someone's going to have to go here, and what will they do with in that point? This is a critical series in my eyes, and implications for both Tampa Bay and Cleveland, where they currently stand. We know that the Rays have been one of the best teams at home in all of baseball, and it is a true home field advantage. They're two games up on the Yanks, start and play tonight. Trade deadline already has surfaced on their radar of they will be aggressive. They have been outward and kind of showing their cards a bit, AR, about what they want to do. It's so wide open in the American League. And I think that you and I could make a concerted argument for probably upwards of half the league that's still involved here. The Yankees have a lot of questions, not knowing what the timeline for Aaron Judge is. That's a real problem. They're going to be shopping for a catcher. They're going to be shopping for a third baseman. But let's face it, you don't have Judge. I don't think they stand a chance in the postseason. The Red Sox are the most intriguing team to me because of the run that they've made. Now, all of a sudden, if you're Craig Breslow, you have to buy. If you thought the Boston Tea Party was earth-shattering way back when, watch what would happen if they all of a sudden were to sell Sonny Gray and Aroldis Chapman after what they've just done. So I think they're in it. I think they're buying, and I think they're kind of pot committed. The team that I'm intrigued about is Seattle. Jerry DePoto has said they want to go shop for a middle-of-the-order bat. They are going to hang one of Luis Castillo and or Emerson Hancock out as trade bait. I think it's smart to deal from an area of strength. They need the little infusion with how much Cal Raleigh has struggled this year. But I think Seattle, with the pitching prowess, when it gets down to it, yeah, that's the team that I think could be super aggressive and maybe separate themselves in the American League topography.
Yeah, they're poor in rank. I think they're 29th in the majors in runs scored. So if they can add a right-handed bat, that could be crucial to getting them into the postseason. And you're right, DePoto loves nothing more than many trades. So we'll see. But it's crowded. It's a crowded postseason picture. Very few teams locked in as sellers right now. So that gives Seattle and every other contender like fewer trade choices. You know, you mentioned the Yanks and catcher and all that. If you take a look at, and I know that it's not something maybe you keep your eye on completely, but the Guardians are loaded at catcher. Like in their, like how thin the position is at the major league level, they have guys that they could trade. They could use one of their catchers as a trade chip to acquiring that game changing talent before the deadline if they wanted to.
Agreed. And the problem there will be that they want to at least have what they will, not only at the upper levels of the minor leagues. And hey, you know, thinking about what what their idea is with the impending doom of the lockout. I think this is an organization that will still hold on to their controllable pieces, AR, because once the landscape, whether it is a salary cap, salary floor, whatever the heck it's going to look like, and I keep my fingers crossed that we have some semblance of big league baseball next year, because it just it very much looks dire right now. That is a part that they are going to be very mindful of, and I think more GMs than not, AR, when we talk about what a deal looks like for clubs at the deadline, you're going to see more GMs pivot to expiring contracts, and they're not going to be as attuned to wanting years and multi-millions still to be paid out if the cap is a deal. Because remember, that will take a percentage of what you're allowed to deal from and allowed for your roster construction. So I think more than anything, you will see the bevy of deals be expiring contracts, controllable assets for multiple years at league minimum or into the arbitration years, where it's cost effective for these clubs, not only in the mid to lower market, but even more so at the higher end of payroll markets too.
All right, this won't take as long. We'll do this in the final 30 to a minute. The Reds are in surrender mode.
Yeah.
But is it weird for me to think, all right, they're six back in the wild card. It may as well be 60. Yeah. Like mentally, right?
Well, it will be because of the road they have. You know, you're in St. Louis, and then you got Cleveland and Pittsburgh with that pitching staff. Tito's seeing double with that, just not knowing you got any offense. Now, hey, this road trip was great. I mean, what they did in Seattle was awesome. If they can keep the momentum, especially with Hunter Green getting a start here on Saturday, that'll be awesome to see. And then give me Burns all day against this Cleveland lineup. It's going to be fun to watch in the battle for the Ohio Cup. I'm anxious to see which bullpen pieces, if any, they're going to look to kind of deal from. And you would got to believe that Spencer Steer, it's not a matter of if, probably a matter of when, that he is going to be traded as well.
My man, love our conversations. Keep it rolling. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You got it, brother. Looking forward to it.
There he is. My man, Jensen Lewis on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems bullpen phone line. We come back and tell the truth next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we'll talk some high school golf with a couple of area coaches as they get set for the upcoming season, plus Tim Streed of the OHSAA.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, before Zeke takes us home, the extension that Tony Romo signed with CBS Sports in 2020 was a 10-year, $180 million contract. It was a broadcaster. So about $17 million a year to serve as the main analyst. That's a lot. And it's certainly, when CBS handed him that contract, I think it kind of changed the landscape of broadcasting. Then obviously...
What year was that contract?
That was 2020. Well, I guess he had a... I'd have to go back and see how many he's had with them. I don't quite remember. But... it was $100 million, I think, at first. And then there was some kind of extension.
And now we got some news.
Yeah, and it's just not something you'd want to mess with, right? This is, he's got a lot to lose. And Romo has allegedly, well, not allegedly, but he's allegedly had a DUI. So he was busted in Milwaukee. He has been arrested and charged with operating a vehicle under the influence. This is through TMZ. And he was in jail in Milwaukee last night. And the local Fox affiliate first put this out. And he was pulled over on a bridge. And he was taken into custody. He did field sobriety. That's what it says. That it's not like, because he'll get the option there. Do you want to perform field sobriety? And if he says no, then the arresting officer has to go on the totality of what he sees. And then, because if you're not going to dispel his belief that you can operate that car, then he has to go on, you know, the driving pattern, slurred speech, eyes, whatever he wants to look at. or whatever goes into that. And I see a mugshot here of a smiling Tony Romo. And so here we are. Luckily, he wasn't hurt. Nobody else was hurt, but he's still dealing with something. I really don't know why he was in Milwaukee, but that's, I guess, irrelevant. But Tony Romo is now dealing with that. All right, Zeke, take us home.
All right, fellas, earlier on in the show, we reacted to Nick Saban, some comments that he had this past week. He said, whoever wins the national championship doesn't define who has the best conference. I think the best conference gets defined by how many good teams you have from top to bottom, claiming the SEC a bit stronger than the Big Ten across the entire landscape of the conference. Well, Brett Bielema just clapped back.
Good. Let's go.
Good old Nick Saban. He tweeted out, quote tweeting this video, and said, I agree with you, coach, and appreciate you bringing this up with a screenshot of Illinois' two past wins in bowl games against SEC teams. Illinois beating South Carolina 2 years ago, and then Illinois beating Tennessee this past season.
All
Does
right.
this look good for Brett or no?
So his ammunition is the bowls, and I don't know if that holds the same weight as it used to when we did have some conference pride when it came to bowl season. Bowl season now feels like a throwaway if you're not in the playoff. I'm not saying those teams don't care to win, but the Big Ten was 11-5 in bowl games last year. The SEC was 4-10. So if you want to just go on facts, Bielema is absolutely right. I mean, the Big Ten is 8-2 against the SEC over the last two seasons. More importantly, they're 3-0 in the college football playoff. That's where it counts. But so Bielema's going with the bowl record.
Nope. Who cares about the bowl record? That's not the reason why the Big Ten's better than the SEC. The bowl record to me is kind of like the NIT in basketball at this point, because who the heck is even playing in those meaningless bowl games? So I don't care about that. But if you wanted to make a better case, you just make the case that the Big Ten had three of the top five teams going into the playoff last year. You make the case that the Big Ten's won three in a row. You make the case that the SEC hasn't even been in the national championship game in the last 3 years. So that's your case. It's not, oh, we beat some SEC teams in some NIT-type games.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up completely if he's going with the bowl record. Now, there's no way. You drop the word meaningless. It's meaningless to a lot of people. It may
most
be
people.
Somewhat. Yeah, but most people that aren't playing in the game. The guys that choose to play in the game, I don't know if they treat it as meaningless. I think once they suit up and they go out there. Now, meaningless can have a lot of different layers. Like you said, how many guys are opting out? Who's really playing? Is the coach, you know, what's going on? Is there an interim coach? Like, there are layers to meaningless. But I think once that ball is kicked off, I think the guys that are playing actually do want to try and they want to win. So it's not like a complete exhibition. I wouldn't say that.
I actually do appreciate that Bielema is bringing this up a little bit, though. I remember he got into it a little bit with Shane Beamer at the end of the bowl game a couple years ago, too. Like, he was willing to have a little confrontation in that Cheez-It Bowl. I think it was a Cheez-It Bowl.
It was the Cheez-It Bowl.
Well, Beamer can get a little heated, man. That dude.
So I good for Brett for doing it, but his justification on the conference, that doesn't make sense.
Next one for you guys, and me and Rothman talked about this a little bit before the show started. You get to hole two. You're golfing with your buddies. One of your guys, they turn the music on, get the speaker going. Does that make you feel a certain type of way? Are you pro listening to music when you're golfing or against it?
Ooh. And do you feel like someone who wants to play it needs to ask permission?
I don't think you need permission. However, I think you need it at a decent level, volume, right? So I don't mind it if we can hear it in the cart, but I just don't need to hear it like a hole or two away if somebody else is playing it. You know what I mean?
It's
Does it bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me. I don't crave it, though. I don't honestly don't crave it. Now, if it's something really important, if it's a tournament or something like that, I think there's no, then don't play it.
Yeah.
If it's a mixer night one night and guy, of course you're going to play the music. The other part about it is, do you have to agree upon the music?
I was going to say, does the genre matter to you, Scotty?
That does matter, because I don't want country music playing when I'm playing golf. But the other thing is, wow, I will tell a story. So my brother and I were getting ready to play last year, and this was the very first tee box, and the group behind us was already, for some reason, at the box while we were teeing off. And they had their music going kind of loud. Now, I didn't really care, but my brother did go up to them and say, hey, can you turn that down? We're just getting started here, you know.
And they weren't playing with you.
No, they were the group behind. And I did cringe a little bit. I didn't love
confrontation on the first tee box.
I didn't love it as we were starting out, knowing that they were playing right behind us and having the ability to hit into us for the next 18 holes.
Yeah.
So I was worried about that.
You don't like
it
our music?
Okay.
How about a little chin music with Mr. Titleist?
They're right.
Yeah, it feels like one of those things that's like, I don't know. It depends on the group that you're with. Some of my buddies, I'm always down for it, but sometimes I don't need it as much.
What are you playing at the tee? What's on the music?
Country.
For you? Oh gosh!
If we're playing music, I'm only playing country. You could do a little bit of like early 2000s rock if you want to play some Nickelback. I'm down for that too.
Okay,
well, guess what? I just figured out you guys are never playing with each other.
I'm not listening to country music for 18 holes.
Yeah, there's got to be a front and a back side. Right? Flip that record over, man. Mm-hmm. He gets the front side country. You get whatever.
One hole.
You get whatever you want on the back nine. Scotty, always good to have you.
That was a blast. Thank you.
Timmy's off today, so Common Man and Timmy will be Adam King and Nicole Sheeran playing the 10 TV relay. You got that to look forward to, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great, safe weekend. Rothman and Ice in the